If you have your Bibles tonight, find, if you would, once again, the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1, all of the youth involved in our music today, the adults need to feel some pressure. They did great in their choir, great on the piano, great serving the Lord. I love to see that. We began this morning, as I am looking forward to the study of the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights. This will be our study. I announced it to you this morning. I kind of introduced the book to you as to our morning message. And it's so fitting for moving into 2017 as we were looking at Moses' last words and encouragement to the nation of Israel. And this is a book of remembrance as Moses is talking to the second generation here, reminding them of how they got where they are, what took place in the history of the nation. Also, as we move forward, he'll be reminding them of the commandments of God and of the law of God and how they were to worship the Lord and walk with the Lord and obey the Lord as they make their way into the promised land. And so Moses begins his encouragement and his instruction at a place in their history at Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea is a very important place in the history of the Jewish people because that is when they made their decision to rebel against the Lord. That's when that generation made a decision not to believe God. We looked at verse number 6 as our theme verse this morning, and Moses was reminding them of the time that God came to them when they were in the Mount Horeb there, and God had made the announcement to the nation that they had dwelt long enough in that mountain, and it was time for them to believe the Lord and to go forward and go into the promised land that God had for them, the land of Canaan. And they had been on that mount, as you study and you look back and you look at that, for about a year, Bible scholars tell us, and a lot of things happened there. But they got comfortable in the place where they were, but God wasn't finished with them. God had greater things for their life. God had the promised land for them. This was a land that God was going to give to them, rich with milk and honey and sustenance and provision. A land that would be fitting as a gift from God. And so the responsibility for the nation was just simply to believe the Lord. And when we got to verse number 32 of the chapter this morning, we found that in this thing, they did not believe the Lord their God. So they got right to the brim of that land, and they even sent spies into that land after they were organized and empowered and kind of a little bit in charge. And the spies went in and they were going to develop some kind of way to go. If you look at verse number, where did I find that verse here? Just give me one second. It talks about the fact that God, they had been, yes, look at verse number 33. Moses reminded them that it was the Lord who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. So God had been leading them by this pillar of fire by night and this cloud by day. And God was not going to forsake them, nor would God leave them. And so God would have guided them once they got into the land accordingly. They had a plan in which they wanted to send spies out. Made sense to them, even made sense to Moses. The problem with that was the plan backfired because they could not handle the truth. And the truth was, as great and as good as the land of Canaan was for them, the land of Canaan came with some trials and with some tests. It came with some giants. They were referred to in verse number 28 at the end there of the sons of the Anakims. When you go back and you look and read the account of the spies, they came back and they said, well, we're like grasshoppers to these people. They're going to crush us. And so as they sent the spies, those 12 spies, two came back with a report that, hey, we can go, God can handle this. 10 came back and said, if we go, we're going to be destroyed. And the multitude believed the 10. And so that immediately fear began to kick in. Now, when fear kicks in, fear knows no end. If you let fear rage in your mind will go places you never dreamed. Fear has the ability to paralyze us, and fear has the ability to take us down roads that, man, they just go and go and go to the absurdity, sometimes even far beyond ration. And so fear just raged within them. And they would say things like, not only are we going to be destroyed, but our children are going to be destroyed. And then once they went through that roadblock of fear, it went even further to the absurdity, and the nation had the audacity to say, God, you hate us. Moses would remind them that this is the same God that brought them out of the land of Egypt with a strong arm. God did not hate the nation of Israel. God loved the nation of Israel. And God had a great plan for them and provision for them, but yet fear just dominated them to the point of absurdity. And they refused to believe the Lord and to trust the Lord, even though Moses had shown them that God had cared for them. And that was the problem with a discouraged heart. They allowed the report to discourage them. They allowed fear to bring them to the absurdity. And then they didn't even believe that God loved them, and they're paralyzed in that. And so as their heart was discouraged, they forgot about the good hand of God in the past. They forgot about the deliverance of God in the past. They had no trust in the ability of God to care them for their future. Now, this is their position of unbelief. And they had been at that mountain, and God came to them and said, listen, you've been here long enough. It's time to go do what I want you to do. Now, I liken that to us this morning in 2017, that maybe that's you. You've been in a place for a long time. You know it, and God knows it. It's not the place God wants you to be right now. It's not even a spiritually satisfying place. And to be honest, you're in the wilderness, and God's got this blessed and green pasture over here, and provision over here, and plan for you. God never promised that it would be easy, but he did promise that he would be with you. And so the nation said, we see the land and we see the giants, and there's no way that we can beat the giants. And God said, I didn't ask you to beat the giants. I asked you to believe me. See, the moment that I try to figure out my life, figure out how this is possible and how I'm going to be able to do what God wants me to do, that comes off an empowerment and an enchargedness, and I try to figure it out. There's always going to be tests, and there's always going to be trials. God's never going to let it just be smooth, because the power in the promised land was faith. You read the book of Joshua, it's a whole book about the faith being our victory. And so God was strong enough to knock the walls of Jericho down. God was strong enough to deliver those fortified cities. God was strong enough, and God would do it. All God simply wanted them to do was just believe him and follow him. But they didn't do it. As a matter of fact, their unbelief was likened to rebellion. If you look at verse number 26. Notwithstanding, ye would not budge or go up. And God said, you wouldn't do it. And you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. You murmured in your tent. You said that I could not deliver. And you said that I was out to destroy us. Now, this is what Moses is reminding the nation here. And so I don't want to re-preach the whole message, but I want to pick up where I left off, and I want you to see what they did. If you notice in verse number 34, Moses is reminding these folks of something that you and I need to be reminded of. And the Lord heard what's that word, class? The voice. The Lord heard the voice of your words. So God was listening to their conversation. And God heard them tell Moses, he hates us, he can't handle us, he can't protect us, he cannot deliver us, and he's going to destroy us, and he's going to destroy our children, and we're not going to let God destroy our children. And Moses said, God heard that. Watch God's response. It's phenomenal. Look, if you would, in verse 34. The Bible says, when he heard the voice of your words, and he was wroth, and he sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this, what's that word? Evil generation, see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. To him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, to his children. Now watch this. Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And so God promised that the generation that did not follow him, they would not receive the land. But who, Caleb and Joshua, they wholly followed the Lord, and they were going to be able to be blessed. Verse 37, also the Lord was angry with me, Moses said, for your sakes, saying, thou shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Oh, yeah, and by the way, moreover, your little ones, verse 39, which you said would be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you, take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. My friends, I submit to you, they made a horrible decision. They made a decision not to wholly follow the Lord. They had within them an evil heart. They wanted to be able to be proven what was going to happen. And really and truthfully, they were exposed when it came time to trust the Lord. And so God understood. God said, listen, you've been here long enough. There was a reason that they were there. And by the way, there's a reason that you're not in God's will. There's a reason why you would be not doing what the Lord wants you to do. And I would submit to you that if we were to be able to strip it down, it really just boils down to our heart. Do we believe God or not? If you believe him, say amen. Wholly followed the Lord. Wholly followed the Lord. They didn't like when God told them you're going to die. They didn't like it when God told them they weren't going to be able to go in. And they did something. Now, God, I need your help here. They did something that even people do today. Look, if you would, at verse number 41. Moses says, then you answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. Moses says, so I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously unto the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in the mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned, and you wept before the Lord. Now watch this. But the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. Pastor, am I reading that right? I mean, God's a God of second chance, right? Are you telling me that they chose not to obey the Lord, they chose not to follow the Lord, and then when Moses told them what it would be, they had a change of heart, and they asked God, they cried out to the Lord, and they said they're going to go? And so are you telling me that they went and they did what the Lord wanted them to do, but God let them all get killed. I'm telling you exactly, God let them all get killed. Well, why would God do that? They changed their mind. Yeah, they may have changed their mind, but they didn't change their heart. Now stay with me, because here's what happens. God's people, we get an opportunity sometimes to follow the Lord. We get an opportunity to believe God. And God stirs within us and he presents us this opportunity. But we don't, for some reason, whether it be fear, whether it be rebellion, whatever it be, maybe be comfortability, whatever, we don't follow the Lord. And then the consequence comes into our life. And we don't like consequence. It's uncomfortable. And so then when the consequence hits us, immediately we try to take control again. And immediately we try to be in charge of our lives, just like they did. Oh, our bad. We don't want to be in there, so we're going to go up. And God said to Moses, tell them don't go. No. We're going to go. We're going. We got our weapons and we're going and we're going to go do it. God said, you better tell them not to go. I'm not with them. They better not do it. It's suicide for them to go up there and do that. No. We got this. We're going. Strap your weapons on, boys. And they went up there. You ever been stung by a bee? You ever run into a beehive? And God said, he took them Amorites and he made them like bees, man. And they destroyed them all. Why? Why would God do that? Because what they did not do out of a heart of belief or faith. They did because they didn't want to face the consequences. Now, who do you think they blamed for their defeat? God. So here's what happens. God calls a guy to full-time missions work. And the guy says, I'm not going to go. And so God says, okay, then you're going to live your life in the wilderness. Oh, no. I don't want to live in the wilderness, so I'm going to go. And they go, but they don't go with belief with the Lord. They don't go with a heart surrendered. They don't go whole following the Lord. They go because they don't want to face any consequences. So they go without the power of God. They go without the blessing of God. And they try to live their life with an obedient front and a disobedient heart. And when the bees come and God doesn't bless that, then there's this frustration that develops and somehow says, well, my problems are God's fault. I did what God wanted me to do, and it just didn't work out. Let me tell you something. The Bible says there hath not failed one word that all God has promised. He's never failed anybody. Amen. Nobody. Well, Pastor, what should they have done? What they should have done is they should have humbled themselves. What they should have done was they should have said, we've messed up, God. We've sinned. And we surrender our lives to whatever you want us to do. Not take their life and take in charge and go out there and try to do the work of God without God. That's suicide. But they should have humbled themselves and became a wholehearted follower of whatever the Lord wanted to do. And the Lord would have led them, but they made a decision that they were going to be in charge. They were going to do it their way. And they were going to try to manipulate the will of God and work it out. And it backfired on them. One of the most frustrating positions a Christian can be is to try to live the Christian life without the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. One of the most frustrating things that we can do is just take charge of our lives and begin to make decisions where God hasn't led us to make decisions. So if God has come to you and God has said, you've been in this place long enough. It's time to get serious about your spiritual life. It's time to do business with the Lord. It's time to rectify these things. It's time to give up that bitterness. It's time to yield that selfishness. It's time to fix that relationship. It's time for you to obey me. You better well know that when God comes and God does that, God's calling you to a promise and to a plan that he has, but it's not going to be a simple path. Don't try to take charge. Don't try to figure everything out. Trust the written word of God. Humble yourself to him. Okay, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but I give myself to you, and you're going to lead me, and you're going to care for me. The last thing you want to do is try to manipulate your life based off of a fear of consequence, or based off of a decision you want, or based off of something you perceive to be a better plan or a better way. And the last thing you want to do is measure success or failure by the test or trials. Our responsibility is just simply to believe and trust the Lord. Amen. If you'll live your life like that, and you'll stick to that simple thing, God, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to love you, and you can do whatever you want to do with my life, you will find that God will do something in and through you that will be awesome. But most Christian people, they don't like that consequence, and so they then try to take charge and they try to manipulate their life. And if you try to live the Christian life without God's enablement or God's power, and you try to fight the giants in your life all by yourself, and you try to go when God says to stay, and you try to stay when God says to go, and you don't follow him, you're going to find out real quick that it's a very scary and very defeated place to be. You've been here long enough. Let's go forward. You've been here long enough. Believe me. Trust me. I got you. I'll fight for you. Don't take charge of yourself. Yield yourself to that. Those that wholly follow the Lord will find him wholly true. Great lesson for 2017.